24?
I think
24.
It's, yeah, I think it's 24.
Ah, dee-dee-dong, dee-dee-dong. 24.
Oh, my God, I just got that. Oh, my God.
Wow.
24.
No wonder people need brain bleach when they think of Nathan. Are we ready?
I have a good naked. I have a nice spot. Right.
Welcome to episode 24 of Crippled System, the podcast. Coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin. Woohoo! Go team!
Who let him intro us this week?
I'm Brian. I play Crix. Woohoo! Zingo!
It's like when you get up really early in the morning and you're in a really good mood, and then everybody brings you down because they're all bitches.
You're welcome. Who is to my left?
No, who's on first?
Oh, what's on second? I don't know.
Still third base. Legitimately hilarious skit.
It's still my favorite skit of all time. I'll just watch it online and be like,
I will still laugh. I have it memorized.
I love introducing that thing to people.
They deliver it so well. It's so masterful.
I would agree.
Naturally. So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally. Nathan.
Katie.
I'm Jeremy. I play Retin Legion.
I'm Andy. I play Trollbuds.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
All right, I'll stop
this is my voice for today. I have a disease.
You're going to have the voice of the whole podcast?
Yes.
That sounds terrifying.
You're welcome. Anyway, I'm excited to be here.
I don't know if Andy actually stopped the recording or not.
I don't know. He didn't.
Okay. That's intros. I'm checking intros off. That was successful.
Yes, I thought that was a good intro.
Job,
Andy tries to hide the monitor from me. How dare I know whether we're recording or not?
How dare you?
How dare I?
And the next topic is either about audio recording or about War Machine, because I just wrote down auto loss, which I think that's an audio recording thing as well. That's also an audio recording.
That is true. Yeah. Brian, you said you had some thoughts. This was actually something that somebody mentioned on our Twitter feed.
They tweeted it to us.
Well, before, I guess, yes. Correct.
We had a lot of tweets.
We posted earlier today we were going to record, which created a furious amount of posts on Twitter and Facebook. Good job, everyone on Twitter. You guys were completely ridiculous and off topic. You did us justice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It was clearly our Twitter feed.
Your stupidity was immense.
However, the auto loss thing tickled Brian's brain.
Someone did bring up a question about, are there auto loss scenarios? Like, will caster A just beat caster B?
Like, you sit down, I picked A, you picked B, why play?
Some players do say that. And in some games, I believe that's a yes. Not War Machine. I believe War Machine is a game of percentages. I believe if you play caster A versus caster B, and you have a whole list design behind that, and you're playing a certain scenario, and you happen to go second, I think you could be screwed.
At what percentage do you round up to a yes, though? Like, if Gatsby 2 loses to Haley 1 95% of the time, is that an auto loss? Or do you say, no, he's got a 1 in 20 chance, he's still got it?
Well, that's true. I mean, I would say there are certain casters that have an advantage. P. Haley has an advantage over E. Gatsby. But the thing is, when you go into a tournament, you don't, you know, you and your list chicken, you don't throw that down. But maybe you're like, screw it. I believe Keith at ChuppleCon beat a P. Haley with his E. Gatsby, with spells, which, you know. So the P. Haley player made some errors.
Doesn't P. Haley just say, no spell for you, soup?
Well, no. If she has focus, she has to spend one focus to negate a spell.
Right.
But I think there are... P. Haley has a by-default advantage over E. Gatsby. But then you look at the train. Okay, now how's the train set up? Is it a standard list? What, your list design has ways to mitigate the auto losses. If I go to a tournament...
What's the scenario?
I mean, if it's a P. Haley versus E. Gatsby, and the P. Haley designed her list for your standard Crix player, and that Crix player didn't think outside the box, even a better advantage for P. Haley.
Right.
Then if the scenario is one where she can just sit back and shoot you to death with her feet, even a better scenario. And then if she goes first or second, how she wants, is even better.
Right.
And then you're getting into the player's good, that E. Gatsby player is going to need some luck, or he's going to need to have the P. Haley forget something. I've seen troll players forget to cast use Genesis Rockwall at the most critical time of a game. It happens. People get flustered. They forget to do something. But when you're playing down with so many odds and you're hoping for the mistake, it's going to be a rough game.
That's true.
But I don't. So there's only that's a pretty extreme scenario. P. Haley just has Crick's number, but like Scorn doesn't. There's no army faction in the game where I'm like I could take any Scorn caster versus anything, and I don't feel it's an auto loss anywhere near it. I think sometimes you're at a 60-40 or a 40-60, Maybe the extreme, again, based on scenario, based on terrain.
How about 60-60?
Oh, yes.
That's
indeed.
Some weird math.
That's my opinion.
The other thing is, if you're faced against something that you think is really hard to beat, it's going to force you to think a little bit outside the box, and I think ultimately make you a better player in general, because you're going to learn how to get on top of a situation where you're starting down.
That's Jordan. When I play Jordan locally, if we get in a scenario where he thinks he's going to lose on the bottom of one, he just forces. Let's just play another game, something else. I'm like, well, you're never. If you don't practice this, there are divide and conquer scenarios. There are times where you're going to need to face off against certain things. You have to play those bad matchups.
Yeah, like I think Pythagoras has really, really bad odds, at least a standard Pythagoras list, against Emor Vana, as a for instance. Like, he just loses so much of his tech against Emor Vana, and she just has his number so hard. But I still practiced.
Just because of the Carnivore RFP?
The RFP with Carnivore, the fact that one of his shticks is the Defensive Fog of War, which she also likes to have and or can just get rid of. One of his big things is the... wow, I'm forgetting the name of the animus that gives you +2 armor.
Spiny Growth.
Thank you. It's Spiny Growth. She's just like, on the turn that I decide to go in and kill your heavies, you don't get Spiny Growth. Thanks for playing. Like, she has his number fairly hard.
That's the same thing for any Purification caster, though.
Yep. Yeah, but the combination of the RFP plus the Purification plus the fact that the list she brings tends to be pretty decent at cracking armor, the list I'm seeing with her, generally speaking, and the fact that he has a fairly small footprint, and her feet can be very strong against a small footprint army. Like, she has lots of things going her way in the Emor Vana Pythagoras matchup. Like, I'm not going to say it's not a loss, and I practiced it several times because when I was planning to go to Adepticon and play Pythagoras in the hardcore. So I was like, I'm just going to run into Emor Vana. I should practice it. I think that it's like probably 80-20 her way. The Emor Vana list that was running around at the time versus a standard Pythagoras list.
If you kill your own Archangel right away, like top of turn one,
you can bring it back.
She can't RFP it.
That's true.
So you're guaranteeing yourself a feat.
That's true, you are.
And I know Retribution just hates to see Epikaya. So, I mean, there are
Epikaya's real bad.
But that's because, so there's a few exceptions, but I still think you can get around it. But there's always player skill. I have taken on some crazy bad matchups where I relied on my skill as a player to overcome some challenges, and oftentimes I can't. It player skill and timing. I mean, a good list still doesn't matter if you don't understand timing and threat assessment and placement of models versus terrain. All those things can turn it around.
Common wisdom would say that like Raven can never beat Eolilith, and I played that game as the Eolilith player versus our local player Jim playing the Raven list, and there, but for the grace of him rolling 3 snake eyes in a single turn, I died. Like,
there's a discussion on the Focus and Fury boards right now about Gatsby 2, because Keith just won with him and thing. And there was one guy who was like, I don't think he's that good. I played with him all last year, and I didn't win all my games. And I'm just thinking, you might not be making the point you think you're making.
Well, it really matters a lot behind the model, the person that's driving.
Yes.
I mean, you may have the most powerful model in the world, but you're not going to win every single game just because he plays them on the table.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean,
I could sure lose a car race with the best car on the planet. Yes. Like, there's skill involved.
I mean, I've beaten Gorshade 1 with my Doomy 1 Tier 4s. So. Yeah.
Well, that's why you see good casters get to the finals round and then just lose hard, is because you get to the point where there are players who just know how to play those matchups, and if you're not good at playing that model to begin with, they're just going to crush you.
Right, you end up like somewhere around like the third or fourth round, you're a little fish in the big pond when you thought you were hot shit up until then.
Right.
You know, you coast in on the strength of the lists, and then all of a sudden the skill matters a lot more.
Yeah, you just get taken apart by a better player. And that'll happen. I mean, for instance, I've never played Krix, and I could win some games with E-Lich, certainly. But I think if I played E-Lich versus, say, Brian, who knows Krix inside, outside, upside down, even if he played someone who's considered a bad matchup against E-Lich, he'd beat me. I don't know E-Lich.
I've never lost a better player. I always just have bad luck.
Ah, okay.
That's true.
Oh, okay, Jim.
Bazinga!
Yeah, but like, I mean, I remember Alex Schaefer in Springfield.
Yep.
We went down for a tournament in Springfield, and I was playing, at the time, the Evale Tier 4 Force was really big. JVM had made it super, super famous and popular. And I was trying it out, and I sat down at the table, and he was like, oh, that's my list. And I was like, what do you mean that's your list? He's like, I totally came up with that list before JVM did. JVM also came up with it on his own. But he's like, yeah, this is a really bad matchup for me. And I was like, he was playing like one of the Balders, I think. And I was like, okay, great. Bad matchup for you. He took me apart. I don't know that I killed more than like five models in a fairly model high count list.
He knew your list better than
and
you
so,
did.
He took me apart.
So you remember when I was talking about the driver behind the list?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Mario Andretti, I am
it,
not.
It just doesn't matter. You know, you can pull your list anywhere, but, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd had good luck with that eval list playing against our local guys because we don't have, like at the time, we didn't have any Legion players. Marshall had left. I just picked up his Legion. And, like, nobody else was really playing Legion or meta. And so I was doing fine with Evale here locally. And then I took her down to Springfield. And, oh, man, Alex just wrecked me.
And even if you have people of equal skill, someone's going to make a mistake. So if you're down against a better caster versus your matchup for whatever reason, you just have to play very – if you play well and your opponent makes a mistake, it doesn't matter if they have a better list. If they make that mistake at the wrong time, you just have to know when to pounce on them. And
yeah,
then,
I mean,
then
list,
they lose their advantage.
List aside, you can be in a situation where things are statistically super against you. You're at a 1090 and you're just in bad shape. But if you're careful and you play it close to the vest – and your opponent makes a big mistake, you just wait. You can literally, you can be playing for that one mistake, and you can win the game off of it.
People see those bad matchups, and their brains are shut down. They don't just they have to go at it and say, okay, this is I'm down, but I'm not out. Am I rolling dice? Does my caster have more than a health left? I mean, is my caster alive? And am I rolling dice? I'm still in this game.
Even if it's 90% odds of loss, that's still 1 in 10 chance of winning, which is pretty good odds. People play the lottery on a lot lower odds than 1 in 10 yeah. chance.
Right. Well, I just remember a game I played against Brian where I don't remember who you were playing, but it was a terrible caster that
he was playing.
Hate.
You.
Well,
you just said that.
I meant the caster, but it was the one where you put your caster right next to my stalker. But you had just defeated, so I was down a dice? Who's that?
That's a good question.
If you were rolling one fewer die, he was playing Fiona, which I've never seen him do.
Yeah, like Crick.
If you weren't allowed to attack him, he was playing Scar 2.
No, I was allowed to attack him.
You were down a die.
Down a die. Well, it was P. Denny. I think you were down in stats. You were down a die.
Oh, I was down in stats.
That makes more sense. -2 to all stats.
Yeah,
she's awesome. I love her.
You might have been crippling. Yeah, it was P. Denny. Yeah.
But he put his caster right in front of me, so all of a sudden my chances to win went from 10% to like 30 to 40%. And I took it. I still rolled terribly, and so I lost. But, I mean, that was a mistake that he made, and he's... You know, one, was playing a good caster, and two, is a much better player than I am, and he still made a mistake. So, you know, that does happen as well.
No, you don't make
he
mistakes.
He is playing Crix, which is incredibly resilient to mistakes.
Yes.
That
well,
is true.
But still, the point that he was making was you have to learn how to pounce on those mistakes, and that was the best chance that I was going to get at winning.
And I think that brings up an interesting side point, that the factions and the casters that people say are OP... I think a big part of what makes them good, I hesitate to use the word OP myself, is their resiliency to mistakes. Like Andy
I've always said that's the thing with Crix. Isn't that they're better, it's that they're more forgiving.
Yeah.
You know, the big example is Bile Thralls. You can if you lose 9 out of 10 Nis Hunters or Long Gunners or Zealots or any other unit, you lose 9 out of 10, you've lost a large functionality of that unit. You lose 9 out of 10 Bile Thralls just through random idiocy, you still wipe out units.
Yeah.
And that's why certain Crix players don't like... Like, the Coven is the exception. The Coven is a very finessed list where you can't make mistakes or you lose, but... They're still amazingly good, but you don't get that cushion. So people say, well, they're bad because, you know, they are amazing, but their window of opportunity shrinks with mistakes.
You know what? I like 9 focus and activating my caster 4 times.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty handy. That's the struggle that I have with Rhett versus Legion as I switch back and forth is Legion can be incredibly forgiving, and Rhett is not forgiving at all. I don't know that I would say that Rhett is weak. I like Rhett. I think they're a good faction, but they are not forgiving.
I would say Legion is more of a glass cannon than Red is.
Legion has a lot of things, though, where they can forgive player mistakes. Oh, I didn't take into account getting myself in range to walk up and shoot your stealth unit. Oh, it doesn't matter. I have Eyeless Sight all over my faction. I'll just shoot that stealth guy off
Legion
the table.
Ignores a lot more rules.
They ignore a lot of rules, and so you can be bad at threat ranges and stuff and still get out of it. Admittedly, they have the same problem as Red, whereas if you lose half your force, you're probably screwed because of that glass cannon effect. And it's really easy to lose half your force, but...
Yeah, but especially compared to, like, Circle. Like, I have to know what my threat range is, and I have to know what your threat range is. Otherwise, like...
Circle's a super high-skill faction,
well,
in my opinion.
I can't let you hit me, otherwise I'm going
to
die.
Side note related to your Iowa side, I was amused by... Just because it's such common tech here in Madison that I guess that just doesn't occur to me that it's not common elsewhere, is after the Iron Gauntlet, the Iron Gauntlet finals were watchable online, mm-hmm. and people watching, they're like, oh, wow. It sure was lucky of Keith that his Arknode died on a hill, so he had cover on a hill. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I run my Arknode onto a hill and then kill it myself. Yeah. Like, that's plus six defense. Like, Gatsby's five Warjack points are not for an Arknode. They are for cover on yep. a hill. Like, that was on purpose. And I'm like, if his opponent hadn't killed that Arknode, Keith would have.
Yeah. Like, it's so common for us, especially Crix players, to, like, kill our – we'll take a Helldiver or a four-point Arknode, and we run it to where we want to put our caster. We kill it ourselves. Our opponent says, why are you killing it? You'll see. And your caster just lives in that little two-inch circle for the rest of the game.
I even did that with – Magnus too. I had like a half dead renegade, and I just moved him over and charged him from behind with Magnus. And I think it was you, Jim. We were just like, "Why are you killing your own jack?" And I'm like, "You'll see." Sure enough,
you'll be
now
sorry.
I got
later.
Cover.
Yeah. No, that's pretty legit.
All right.
All right. For those of you who keep in track, that's we're done with War Machine. So you can stop your podcast. We may come back, but it's doubtful.
That was like half an hour.
It was. Someone's like, I know. Are we
a half hour? I guess by Nathan time, it's a half hour.
It seemed like a half hour.
It's like 15 minutes.
Seemed.
We did not
are we
start
25
right at
minutes
six.
In?
No, we no. are at 16 minutes in.
Oh, but yeah. I looked at my watch 10 minutes ago, and we were halfway through this topic. It felt like longer.
So speaking of Lock and Loaded, Andy went to Lock and Loaded.
Yay! I did.
And moving on.
Yeah, that was
come
fun.
On, say something about Lock and Loaded.
You ran Who's the Boss, and it was a lot of people there.
Did you play much at all, or did you just like hang out and chill with people?
I played a few games against random folks.
Just random Iron Arena kind of.
Did you meet some fans? Did they hug you?
I met a lot of fans.
Did you let people stroke your beard?
No. Once. No.
You cannot tell a lie.
I did meet a lot of people. There's a lot of folks out there that... and enjoy the podcast.
Nice.
Nobody said they hated us, though, which I was disappointed.
A little disappointing.
I want people to express their hatred towards me.
You want people to throw rotten eggs when you walk into a room? That's really what you're looking for?
No. I'll throw rotten eggs at you.
The tournaments had a really good turnout. Their Masters had 96 people. Their first time ever Iron Gauntlet had 46, I believe.
Yeah. The only,
and they had a bunch of other events going on.
The only thing I had, I mean, they had it split apart into two rooms instead of having it be all in one like last year's Lock and Load, which is decidedly less crowded, but it made it so I could not really pay attention to any of the other events.
Oh, except
that was
yours.
Going on. Yeah, it was either you're in the Iron Arena room or you're upstairs playing in those events. So
that's too bad.
It was a lot
you
less.
You couldn't just mosey over. Oh, it was even a different floor. It wasn't just like
completely
next door or
anything.
So you couldn't even just mosey over between your games to check.
No.
I know people are very excited to hear, or I know Maddie K, because the Iron Gauntlet got a lot of outward press from Privateer Press.
Yeah, Privateer Press was.
And I know Maddie K recorded a ton of the Master events, so he'll be posting a ton of videos from Masters and a bunch of lists. People are real because Ryan from Phoenix won Masters, and people are very excited because he's. I mean, you don't. That's a name you don't really. You know, I don't think Phoenix. I mean, he's.
It's like Will Pagani 2 years ago.
Exactly.
So maybe knew who Will Pagani was.
So maybe this Ryan will be going to more events. He got his way in. He qualified for War Machine Weekend Invitational, the premier tournament of the year.
Who's Will Pagani?
He's a judge.
Oh, he's one of those horrible, vile people that Keith hates.
Yes.
I remember.
Exactly.
Yes.
I never had a problem with the guy. He's talking smack about them. I don't understand.
No, he said he hated their cowboy hats.
I tried hanging out with the Muse guys, too, and I didn't. I couldn't.
We didn't pay enough.
I didn't pay enough.
Yeah, well, the velvet rope. Yeah. They actually wore, like, velvet belts.
They had, like, a list, and they said, Mr. Welton, you are not on the list.
You're just not cool enough to
Crump
ride this
was
ride.
An odd choice of bouncer, but, you know.
No, they had Colin doing it.
Oh, okay.
Colin's a pretty good bouncer.
Colin's the wrangler.
Yeah.
Hey, Colin, how you doing?
Nice.
They just got a whole...
Hi, Lance.
They got a whole bunch of equipment, too, as well, to do some recording, to copy us and do more video podcasts.
Well, you know, whenever we have a good idea, they have to.
We start a video podcast, which, by the way, the video podcast popularity has been insane. I swear.
Yes.
I told Andy this early. Everyone locally wants their games recorded.
Yeah.
People online are demanding more videos. We can record constant game. We will record as much as Andy until we drive Andy completely insane. And
so
he tells us
no
to go
more
away.
Is what you're saying?
We're done.
Yeah, I'm pretty much insane right now.
But there is a huge demand on the internet and a huge demand locally to have a ton more of our games recorded.
The trick of it is getting the recording done, then editing the video, and then getting the people to do the commentary on it. I think what really made this last one was the commentary.
Yeah.
Even I mean, we could just sit there and just stare at a screen and watch people push models, but the commentary is, I think, what made it.
I think people really liked that.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more enjoyable than...
Well, that's why I wanted to do the post. That was why the idea was to do the post commentary as opposed to just putting the live video up. Because Matty K already does that, and it's cool, and it is what it is, and this is a different kind of thing.
Are you bringing the camera this week to Wednesday night, or no?
I don't know yet.
I would like to record a game this Wednesday.
Hey, you had one. You have to wait.
I could record another one.
No, nope. It's all right, my turn.
Got to shuffle around.
But people love me.
No.
Well, let's not get that far.
Honestly, when I was at Lock and Load, nobody said they loved Jeremy.
Oh, that's not it. They love Benghazi. They do.
That's
love
true. Who doesn't love Benghazi? That is great.
Oh, God. That's context, people. Context.
There is some context missing. Facebook will explain it all. Just Google Benghazi Facebook. It'll make more sense. Or less.
I hope the right thing comes up.
Yeah. So I love Benghazi. Benghazi is my favorite thing. Like, these are not things that you shout out.
Today, Benghazi posted, he's sad that JVM hasn't friended him. Everyone in the War Machine community has friended Benghazi except for JVM. So I'm getting a campaign to get JVM to Facebook friend him.
Well, JVM has got more important things to do.
Everyone
has
more important things.
He's got to nurse his wounds a little bit after losing to Keith.
So one of the things at Lock and Load as well, they had a bunch of scenario tables. And I was too lazy to get a picture, but you've probably seen the pictures of it out there. It is a ridiculously huge...
That
clockwork thing. I played on that table like 3 times. Sadly, what that scenario was, it was a... let me look it up here real quick. It was called...
Is that the one that like the Convergence launch event's going to be, where like that thing's an arc node to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Yep.
But it was Power Surge, but they had it over on the side there. That's what the scenario's called. It's Power Surge.
Yeah.
My first game that I played on it, I played... Me and my opponent played 2 casters that have no use for that arc node whatsoever. It was Borka versus Ryus.
So, who plays Ryus?
Borka has a spray.
Worst ninja ever.
He can just spray out of that thing. Doesn't he have a crit freeze? Oh, no, that's his actual weapon, isn't it?
No.
No, he has a... Doesn't he have a crit freeze spray spell?
No.
I don't know.
I thought his offensive spell was a crit freeze spray. Maybe that was field tester Mark 1 or something.
It may be Mark 1.
I thought his offensive spell was a crit freeze spray.
I don't remember.
Brian, start loading War Room. By next episode, you'll have
that. Oh, I want to say this. A little pro rant. War Room was updated last Friday to 1.2. I think everyone's opinions of War Group should be upgraded 1 grade. So if you fucking hated it before, you should just hate it now. If you kind of liked it now, you should be pretty happy with it now. Or if you know however your opinion was should jump. It has this awesome sort by feature in there. It loads faster. It's pretty sweet. It's I'm very very happy with War Room right now. I mean,
I've heard it's less crashy too. From several places.
It's not perfect yet. It still needs some work, but it is much more improved, and they're really putting some good effort into it.
3 spells. He has Iron Flesh, Mosh Pit, and Windwall.
You could arc Iron Flesh.
I could arc Iron Flesh, but I've already got a 5 control or 10 control area in the first part. So yeah.
It must have been Mark 1. I know he had a crit freeze spray. It must have been Mark 1.
Rock has a crit freeze spray.
Yeah, no. I'm sure it's Mark 1 I'm thinking of.
But, Ryus. I took on... That was Chris Ross. I don't know where he's from again.
I'm excited, though. We need to do one of those Convergence... We need to do 3 of those Convergence launch events. 4 of them. 4 Convergence launch events here. So I can run one, and so that I can win the 3 medals at the other 3.
I asked each store to order 1 kit.
I can't run Steamroller events. I can run Wacky Crap.
Okay.
I asked each store to run one. I ordered 1 kit from each store.
Nice. So we'll run 1 event, and then I'll just steal all the coins from the other kit. Those things are beautiful.
On the Convergence topic, slightly different. If anyone didn't know this, the Ultimate Qualifier War Machine Weekend tournament in Chicago has stated that one of the things they did was pick up a bunch of Convergence at Lock and Load, and they're going to be offering it as prizes, and the more people that come, the more they will offer.
But I work on Saturday.
You should.
Well,
really
I don't know what to tell you. I am
going to
go out and win a faction for myself. So
they are really good at prize support.
Yeah, their prize support is
new game.
Really
and, you know, yeah, no, it's
no, no. It's the Dice Dojo.
Dice Dojo is running the event, and they need it's because it's a War Machine Weekend alternate qualifier. Yep. They need 32 bodies. They're around 28, 29 signups.
Yeah, they're like right about there.
And I guess we mentioned it before. It's going to be a good event. It starts at sign up is at 9. Event starts at 10 a.m. We have to leave Madison at 5:30-ish. So it's going to be fun.
So anybody in a neighboring state who isn't going should go.
Yeah, you
should get it over the 32. And to be honest, the Chicago guys suck. So you're pretty much guaranteed
that's
that
actually
spot.
That was true up until about last year.
Shh.
Oh, yeah.
It was a trap.
I haven't even I'm going to get my ass kicked. I haven't got my ass kicked in a tournament in
have
like
you
years.
Even picked list yet?
I don't even know what I'm playing. I was it's I'm not I'm
Who lets
I'm,
this guy play one.
I'm not even I'm bringing like Martin. I might bring Martin.
Remember when our meta was strong?
I do.
Good times.
Good times.
Well,
you're
I'm
fine.
Taking I'm taking a break. I haven't gotten any
a ride, Andy, by the way. I saw you were looking to
What?
Did you get a ride worked out for Saturday? I saw you were looking for a ride still.
This could be talked about elsewhere.
No, let's discuss our travel for the next 15 minutes.
Anyway,
somebody wanted me to talk about how I look naked, you said on the Twitter.
There were some Twitters about Nathan.
Yeah, yeah. Are we going to do
lock and load?
Oh, yeah. You said lock and load stuff. Go, go.
All right, keep going.
Back to Andy. And go.
We're all staring.
Yeah. What the hell?
We broke him.
More about lock and load.
We broke his mind.
Did you have a wonderful dinner?
I went sushi. Oh, man. Probably the best place to go at Lock and Load.
What the fuck was that? My mouth itched. My mouth itched.
What the fuck?
So you put your dick in it?
The roof of my mouth was itchy.
We look over and Ryan, what? He's like, oh. Jeremy's leaning away from his microphone, deep-throating his middle finger.
I was scratching the roof of my mouth.
You have a tongue? Also, how does the roof of your mouth get itchy?
I don't know. That is a valid question. But my tongue is not very jagged or rough, as it were. So it's not good at itching things?
I'm sorry, Katie.
Katie looks so sad right now. Or so happy. I can't tell.
No, it's not. That's not happy.
It's disappointment.
Love you too.
So, man. No, the best place... I did not go down to Pike's Plate Market, so I didn't get down to eat the $70 a plate fish that I had last year. But I did revisit multiple times the Tap House. The Tap House Grill. And if you don't know what the Tap House Grill is, it is a bar with 160 taps.
Nice.
So, a lot of beer.
So you were just blitzed the whole weekend.
I wasn't blitzed. But, yeah, I did go down there a few times.
You were happy.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Then I ran Who's the Boss, which... Well, I already posted it, though, on our Twitter feed, though, that we broke 60 players.
Didn't it hit the 64 hard cap quite, right?
Well, it did hit the 64 hard cap originally. I mean, for sign-ups.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we only had 60 total.
Four people bailed.
We pulled a bunch from the waiting list, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
So that went off pretty smoothly. I mean, for you guys who have experienced Who's the Boss, we ran 60 people through the wheel in about 20 minutes.
Did the wheels?
Wow,
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
We finished the entire event 2 hours early.
That never happens with Who's the Boss.
No. We motored through that like no one's business.
And the wheel was fully functional this time?
The wheel was fully functional this time. Which leads to another announcement at Gen Con, the Who's the Boss will be back again. And it is a daytime event at Gen Con.
Nice.
So
yay.
Check out your event schedule. I think it's on Saturday. But.
So this is a logistics question. How did you get the wheel to Seattle?
Oh, it's a long story.
At Adepticon, okay. He gave it to the privateer press people?
Yeah.
That's the story. It's
actually,
not that long.
Actually, no.
He gave part of the wheel.
I gave part of the wheel to the guys at... Because
remember, we didn't have the bottom half?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was...
Well, you gave the biggest part. The wheel got to them. It was the Lazy Susan that was, or no?
No, that's the biggest part, is the Lazy Susan and the wheel.
Because the wheel collapses, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, a Twitter feed is kind of a follower. Look out.
Trevor
Christensen
is
now following us.
That's John Christensen's brother.
No.
I don't think they're brothers, are they? They're just, they just know each other.
Yeah, I think it's coincidence. Keith Christensen is also not related to them.
Yeah, but they talk about each other all the time.
They're in love.
Oh, they're both War Machine. Don't they both podcast?
They all...
Isn't Trevor a Chain Attack person?
Yes.
Yes, that's probably why.
And they're also from the same area as well, where they played in the same area for a long time.
Also, Travis, Dark Legacy, has posted on Twitter feed a lot. I think he really wants us to bring him up. It's like, yes, Travis,
who?
We know.
Sam.
Okay. Sorry. I was confused. I didn't know who this Travis person
that's
was.
His middle name.
Any of you guys remember Sam's actual last name? I sat there at Lock and Load trying to think of it because I was given the awesome darkness story. To other people, but I would have to
unlock that part of my brain that's currently self-amnesia.
I tried very hard to remember his name, and I couldn't, because I met a bunch of guys from Utah, and they know who Darkness is, and
I just couldn't remember his last name.
Now the roof of my mouth is itchy. God damn it, Jeremy.
I told you, right?
Psychosomatic son of a bitch.
We should,
weird.
I also want to mention Menathron again because he's like, you guys don't talk about me enough. I need so much love and attention.
Everybody wants us to talk about them.
Love Menathron.
We'll start a Kickstarter. Wait. Send us some money. We'll talk about you. That's all.
A reward.
Just a bunch of money.
You guys keep interrupting Lock and Load. I wasn't there. I want to hear about
it. Did you guys see the guy from the league that was like, I'm gonna start a Kickstarter, and if you send me $1,000 or more, you can say that you met me. The whole thing was hilarious.
You wouldn't meet him, you just get to say that you met him?
Yeah. Nice.
If you give him if you send him $50, he'll send a picture of him burning $50.
Did you hear about Melissa Joan Hart's Kickstarter?
No.
Like, she wanted to make a movie, so she started a Kickstarter, and nobody gave her any money, so she canceled her Kickstarter.
Nice.
Like, aw, poor Melissa Joan Hart.
But I like Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, I know, right?
Calicia Explains It All was very important in my formative years.
If I had known that she had started a Kickstarter, I would have given her $20.
Yeah, well, that would have given her about $24 towards her movie, I think.
So, Andy, how did you get to and from Lock and Load without a Kickstarter? I don't understand. How does someone actually make it there and back?
Oh, I supplied it with my own money.
What? Yeah. Why would someone do that?
Wow. So
that's not very nice.
I don't know if it's an option.
Circumstances for other folks, though. I mean, that's
right. What isn't nice is the guy who posted a thread on their forum.
Yes,
yeah,
that wasn't nice.
That was not nice at all.
It was hilarious.
It was not called for.
I think that guy is one of our fans too.
Wouldn't shock me.
When we first started posting our podcast, he was like, "Oh, this is the best worst podcast ever." I think that's him.
What's that dinger?
he likes to be negative. He's like, "I like to be negative."
Yep. B negative.
B negative.
Blood type.
That is a good blood type.
I'm O positive.
I have no clue what my blood type is.
Mine's red.
I can give to probably everyone in this room.
You know what's weird is like in Japan, blood type is kind of like their version of the Zodiac. Like as far as like pickups at bars and personality tests and stuff like that. Like instead of saying, oh, you're a Gemini, you must this blah, 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 and you should date a Pisces. They're like, oh, you're an A positive. Your personality is blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's kind of weird, a little cultural thing.
Did you go to any seminars?
I did go to 2 seminars, and then I forgot about 2 seminars.
Oh,
so
lame.
I went to the introduction to two-brush blending, which has helped revitalize my itch to actually start painting.
Nice.
Then I also went to the Crash Course Army Painter one that Ron Cruzzi ran, which was really cool. Learned a couple new things. I'll teach you guys about them.
I did their two blend class like 3 years ago at Gen Con. It's a really intriguing class to see how they do that. They're really good at teaching that.
It's pretty cool. It's actually not very difficult to learn, but it's obviously difficult to master.
It's like Othello.
Andy tweeted he is going to have an army fully painted for hardcore at Gen Con.
I didn't say hardcore. That?
You said you're going to have
I'm just going to have a fully painted army by Gen
I figure
Con.
What
kind of an army? Battle box?
No, 50 point. My 50 point force.
We're gonna designate a prize. We need to work together to get Andy a prize. If Andy can achieve this goal of a fully painted army by Gen Con, we have to get him some ridiculous prize.
And if you get fully painted Gristle 1 theme force by Gen Con.
Oh my God.
If his P Doom Shaper list is fully painted by Gen Con, we have to like put our funds we should together to get some ridiculous. We need to help motivate him by bribing him.
That's my goal is to paint up by Doom Shaper theme force.
Well, first we have to
because that includes both Molg and the upright Earthborn.
I keep telling you that thing's so beautiful and you haven't painted it.
Well, because you could win some. I mean, those things are painted up. You can get yourself some prizes.
He needs to be painted at Gen Con just so that you can enter him as a in the competitions at Gen Con.
I will say this, though. So I showed my upright Earthborn to a lot of the digital sculptors and the other sculptors there. And they kept on telling me I need to go show it to Ron Cruzzi because he's the will breaker. And in fact, he keeps on pointing at the model in the book saying that I'm that guy, the will breaker.
Yeah.
The scorn book. And he did not. He actually didn't destroy my will. he was actually very positive about it. So either I caught him in a very good day, or it was actually a good sculpt.
Maybe he just crushed 10 people's souls, so he was happy.
Yeah,
it's he's a fan of Game of Thrones, and he knew the Redwood was coming, so he was happy that day. And everyone else was sad around him. He's like, ah, suck it! You should have read the book, you idiots.
Speaking of that, holy fucking shit! So
spoilers.
If you didn't see what happened 2 nights ago. Holy cow. You know, I'll say this. I could not watch it until late Monday night because I was stuck in Seattle for 3 hours. I didn't get to leave Seattle until like 2 a.m. and then didn't get to leave Chicago until like noon. That was not fun. But so I finally watched that, and I did catch a small spoiler on Facebook beforehand. All I knew is that there was nasty stuff happening. And so I waited the entire episode waiting for nasty stuff to happen. So, like, when Brand and Hodor and all of them are stuck in the tower, I'm expecting the wildlings to come up there and kill them the whole time. So I was sad because, you know, I like Hodor.
Hodor.
Yeah. I didn't pick up about, like, the band playing the Lannister theme at all. I didn't pick up on that, but I definitely picked up on Caitlin's response to everything going on around her.
Well,
we've read the book.
They did it so well. And what amazes me is so many fans of the show who have not read the books all knew they were playing the Lannister theme because they were subtly. They've been talking about like that song
in the show a lot. Yeah,
but they just did such a good job. So when they started playing, even fans were like, "Oh, that's not good." Like, so it was an interesting thing. And her reaction is just like in the book. She's just slowly realizing everything is fucked, and it's just so well done.
Nice.
And the reaction of the fans. And I tweeted Andy on Sunday saying, "Hey, yeah, by the way, there may be a little bit of talk about the show tonight. So, you know, I'm trying to be calm and not say, shit's getting real tonight. I don't want to set the expectation, but I'm like, you might want to ignore the internet because, well, we know friends who've ruined stuff all the time. Like, Sean kind of accidentally ruined a big thing on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stupid things like that.
I have a friend at work that he'll see something for me, and he'll be like, yeah, and I tell him, don't tell me spoilers. Like, I won't tell you a spoiler, but someone dies tomorrow. I won't tell you who, though, so it's okay. So I'm like, but now, so I have the entire episode, I'm like, well, obviously, so it's like,
you could tell then when something's going
to
happen.
When I went into the store, and James was talking to somebody about Star Trek. That's before it came out, and I'm like, oh, well, James, just one second, just, you know, I wanted to let you know, while I'm buying this soda, I'll be out in a second, just stop talking for a second, because I'm avoiding all knowledge of Star Trek. I don't want to know anything going into it. And he goes, oh, well, Benedict Cumberbatch is the villain. And it was literally that exchange. Like, I said, please don't tell me anything, and he says, Benedict Cumberbatch is the villain.
He can't help it.
And he's like, oh, well, I assumed you already knew that part, so it didn't count. I'm like, you don't assume jack shit.
There's a guy at work that yelled at me because I told him it's not a spoiler, but like there's the.
If you have to defend it with that vocal inflection, yes, it is.
No, it's the fan. The fan theory that Rob.
No. I'm defending.
Because fan theories have evidence that supports them, and what that evidence is.
And your fan theory is right, and we have someone who hasn't read the books in the room.
Right. So
you're welcome.
No.
We just saved a spoiler.
No.
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 Anyway, he was upset with
no.
his work.
And he was right.
He should have been.
Oh, my God.
I knew it. Luckily, I heard the story before, so I knew exactly what she was about to say.
As soon as she said it, I was like, no, wait, stop.
It's a fan theory.
Yeah!
Just because the fans solved the riddle before it was revealed officially doesn't mean it's a theory. It means it's the truth and we figured it out.
So some geek fans online were having a riffing, and Matt Smith announces he's leaving the Doctor, and then happens, so it's like two big things.
I am so hopeful. I know it won't happen, but until otherwise is announced, I am hoping and praying that Craig Ferguson will be the next Doctor. He would be the greatest fucking Doctor.
I saw a picture that made me decide that I want to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah.
It was Dwayne Johnson. As the Doctor.
Okay. All right. So The Rock, Craig Ferguson.
The guy from the show with the thing of the people and the stuff in the hats. They fall on the thing. That guy wants to be the Doctor, too. I can't think of his name. Moss wants to be the Doctor.
What?
There's a thing.
Moss?
Yeah, Moss.
Moss from the IT crowd.
Yeah. Really?
Hats.
Oh.
The people with the hats. If it was Robert Aodi, that would be amazing.
He'd be a great Doctor.
I love him in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which I think I recommended a couple episodes ago.
I don't remember.
It's so fucking good.
The IT crowd's amazing.
But he's even better in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Because it's him acting as somebody who can't act on a TV show, and it's wonderful.
He's even fairly good in Neighborhood Watch.
Which is awful.
Which is awful. But he's all right in it.
If you're a fan of people acting as if they were people who can't act,
Oh, he's so good in Garfield.
Isn't that what IT Crowd is?
No, no, because they're not acting. Like, Dark Place is actually about a television show.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you know, it's right. it's a bad TV show, and then they intercut with the actors, quote-unquote, from the TV show.
Okay, I got
and
it.
He is in the TV show. He's not an actor. He was the writer's publicist, so the writer let him be one of the stars of the show, nice. So he can't act, and it's beautiful. Like, he's talking on a phone, and he's just, like, talking straight towards the camera while holding the phone vaguely towards his head, and then he hangs up the phone and kind of pauses awkwardly and then, like, looks at the phone and goes, bye.
What's the show called again?
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
They're making another IT Crowd
episode.
It is
not, sadly. It's on YouTube, though. You know, you can find it online, but it's great.
Isn't that the one you sent the, like, little...
The little snippet of, yeah. Snippet like, of, yeah. I sent the first half of the first episode when the author's like, I'm one of the few people you've met who's written more books than he's read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
It was fantastic. And wasn't Robert Ayodhede great in that?
Where did you post that?
Of course he was.
Yeah. I don't know.
One of our threads. The name of it's too long, and I can't pay attention.
Dark Place. Right. Dark Place, then.
I'm going to Google Dark Place.
There's one episode that's great because... it's Garth Marenghi's Blue search. Waffle.
I'll do Dark Place Blue. Yes.
Yeah. There's one episode...
For fans, don't Google Blue Waffle.
No. I do like... there was an episode of 30 Rock where the main character, Liz Lemon, is having a birthday party, and her uncle, Richard... crashes the party, and he goes up and he's like, it's not a lemon party without old dick. And I'm like, how did they get... It's a good thing censors don't know the internet. Because that should not have been allowed on television.
I don't get it.
And also don't Google lemon party.
Like, don't
I think
Google
it was Veronica
party.
Mars where like she had a Mexican friend who was talking... He was talking about an investigation he was doing, and she's like, what are you, Dirty Sanchez?
Nice. Nice.
So good that the censors don't know these things.
Yeah. Katie's looking up Lemon Party right now.
Don't know.
Katie,
yeah,
don't
do it.
No, Katie. You guys won't tell me. That
yeah, there's a reason.
No, no, actually,
it's
now.
Perfectly
yeah, go
natural.
Ahead. Go ahead, look it
you
up.
You do it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And after that, Tub Girl. So, where was it?
Speaking
oh, yeah.
of Lock and Load.
Speaking of lock and load, Tub Girl.
I did get to meet a couple other fans. We do have a couple of privateer listeners.
Nice.
Which is pretty awesome.
That's kind of frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Do they have to stay anonymous?
They said no. So I can mention him.
So mention him.
One of the digital sculptors, Ben Miser.
Nice.
He gave me a couple.
Hi, Ben.
Gave me a couple of recommendations. I'll probably end up using in one of our future ones after I actually read it.
Very cool.
yeah, and Charles Foster III.
Oh,
speaking
well,
of
which, amazing.
Did he get you my Vanguard?
Nope.
Fail.
We
still love you, Charles.
They were kind of busy the entire event.
That's weird that would happen.
Trying to, you know, manage two different floors with a ton of different people.
I'm hearing excuses.
And by the way, I would have had no place to put your Vanguard anyway.
Yeah, he would have had to throw it in the trash.
Yeah, your Vanguard would have gone straight into the trash. Actually, well, I have like a box that I shipped to myself. And I probably...
You shipped yourself?
Yep, I shipped myself. Right in the pants.
with a very exciting Haley sculpt.
You know, you could... Oh, my God. That's like the greatest commercial in the world, is the ship your pants commercial from Kmart, I think it is, or one of those chains. It's like, oh, you could... I just shipped my pants.
Google,
you could ship your bed.
Google won't show me Lemon Party.
Anyway, it says that the site was found on October 3rd and is set to the doo-wop song If You Want to Be Happy by Jimmy Soul.
Oh, that's wonderful.
No, oh, well, that sounds so pleasing.
Yeah, you should watch it. Yeah. Well,
it's just about your meme site. Or know your meme.
Oh, well, you should actually go to the site.
Yeah, you just type in.
No,
Lemon
it told
Party.
Me what it was.
No. Well what
that's
was it?
Not as fun as looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a very it's perfectly natural and legal
like,
in several states now.
it's like meat spin.
Yeah. Well, that's just funny.
It is.
It is funny.
It is funny.
Very important.
It's funny when
Katie
doesn't know what it is.
No, it was funny when I taught Katie what it is because I mentioned meat spin and she's like, what's that? I go and I explained it. She goes, oh,
Jeremy
does that.
Thanks, Katie. Thanks. Yeah, that was her response when he told her what meat spin was.
Thank
I don't know what it is. She said that at a tournament. We're like at a War Machine tournament, and out loud she goes, oh, Jeremy does that.
You didn't tell me it was a secret.
Come on, you get out of the shower, your girlfriend's sitting there, you do a little meat spin. It's funny. It's funny. And if you're equipped at the time, you do the tall rack instead.
It's true.
So you've never done the tall rack?
No. No, with a washcloth.
Just a little tent.
Yeah. So that was Lock and Load.
Any other Lock and Load tidbits, Andy?
Not that I can think of right now. I mean, other than no.
Next Lock and Load.
We're road tripping next year.
Wait,
Andy
got all excited.
Andy got all excited. I looked at how long that is, and that's a 30-hour road trip through mountains.
Meh.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine.
It's still cheaper. Well, a lot of us are going to drive out there, so
yeah, you guys.
A lot of us will go. It'll be awesome.
We're going to podcast on the way.
Yeah. Well, we'll tweet our progress.
How are you going to podcast with all my equipment here?
We'll be on CBE.
Oh yes,
follows on CBE all the way.
Breaker, this is Crippled System coming at you.
You just have some random.
We'll upload short YouTube videos from our phones.
Yeah,
no, that's fine. One other thing though, too, that I forgot to mention, I did get to page through the entire brand new Iron Kingdoms roleplay book.
Nice.
Ooh. It was 384 pages.
That's the Gods, Kingdoms, and whatever.
It's just the Five Kingdoms. So.
No, I thought the title was like Gods, Kingdoms, and something.
It's the Five Kingdoms. It's
basically all about the Five Kingdoms.
It's that one they talked about in their preview of what's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's supposedly coming out in September. It's already at the printers, but nice. I got to page through it, and it's 384 pages of fucking awesomeness.
I like Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
No, this is Five Kingdoms. This is better.
I like Romancing the Stone.
Really?
That sounds
all right. Jewel of the Nile, less good.
Less good.
Less good. But they both have Danny DeVito.
They do, which
and
is good
great.
For them. He used to be great. He was
he's
great at
still
the time.
Great. Dude, you watch Always Sunny and tell me you don't like Danny DeVito?
He's better in Taxi.
You've never seen It's Always
that's
Sunny.
Taxi. Everybody's better in Taxi. And
that's
if you've
hard
never wait, if you've never seen Always Sunny, how can you tell?
Because I've seen commercials and previews for it.
What?
But you haven't seen him just come running
previews.
Into the room, eat a whole bunch of cat food really fast, and then fall asleep.
No, he's got a pound of beer, too.
Yeah. Eat a bunch of cat food, pounds of beer, and just falls asleep. Yeah. He says nothing. It's wordless and hilarious.
Because they have to eat the cat food to put themselves to sleep, because there's too many cats that come into the area because of the cat food.
And then they have to pound the beer so they don't get sick from the cat food.
Come on. You haven't seen Who Pooped the Bed?
No.
Oh, my God. You need
Dave
to
solves
least...
the gas crisis.
I mean, that we want to start off kind of mediocre and then kind of ramp up to the top.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to see Who Pooped the Bed.
No.
But you need to find out who pooped the bed.
No.
Somebody pooped the bed.
No.
Yeah. It's between Charlie and, Frank.
No.
Could have been anybody.
What the hell's wrong with you?
So, I have to bring up
you
a Twitter post.
You didn't
want to
see Arrested Development at all
until we
force you to watch it.
Now, I will say this about it. It's too terrible. Like, the people are too terrible with people.
Oh, Always Sunny. Do you like The Producers? The classic film with Gene Wilder? And have you seen The Producers? And you don't like The Producers? But have you seen... You've seen The Producers.
The new one?
I haven't seen the new one.
No, the original
the
one.
I've never seen the original.
The original one
is fine.
With Gene Wilder. And you've seen it. Hold on, I need to go down this list real quick. I want to check something.
Flawless being created.
You've seen this.
He's nodding yes.
Yes. And you like it. No, you... So this isn't adding up. This I literally can't figure this out. You've seen The Producers, and
I don't like it.
I
have trouble with a lot of episodes of Arrested Development being too terrible for me.
You don't like horrible people doing
horrible
things?
I don't like
horrible
people doing horrible things.
But The Producers is awesome.
You're on this fucking podcast.
Yeah. But I don't have to watch horrible people. I am a horrible person.
Have you met
podcast.
You? Exactly.
Yeah. He doesn't like to be reminded of himself.
Yeah.
You guys. Come on.
It's not like I stand here with a mirror in front of myself.
Springtime.
Although I could do
for
that.
Hitler and Germany.
Now, I will say I enjoyed The Producers, but it's always I used to watch it, and they were just too terrible people. Yeah. Like, I just couldn't watch it anymore.
Yeah. It is true.
I have to interrupt our podcast with a Twitter
breaking
comment.
News.
Yes.
Breaking Twitter
someone's
news.
Asking us about the second annual Bring Your Warrior to Work Day.
That's not to us.
At Crippled Systems, how about the second annual Bring Your Warrior to Work Day? When was there a
bring
first...
There's a Painting After Midnight blogspot post.
Did you say Bring Your
that's
Order
that's what
to
they
work
talk
day?
About. Bring Your Warrior to Work Day and take a picture. Like you're at work with your Warrior, you take a picture of yourself with your Warrior. It's like how they have the No Quarter where there's a Warrior in different cities every week, every month.
I think they stopped doing that, haven't they?
But this is the whole thing, is you take your Warrior to work, you take a picture of it. It blows my mind that's like a thing that they have now.
Nerdism
you're
is supposed
stealing
to be a
my,
secret
you're stealing my
thing.
Later topic.
We're done with it. Well, we're not going to go over.
Yeah,
much
no,
more
we're done with. It's a Lock and Load, and then who's the boss? And next to this, I wrote, I like pie. I'm going to put down that cherry rhubarb is great. Strawberry rhubarb, everyone's had. If you ever tried cherry rhubarb,
I've had cherry rhubarb.
Cherry rhubarb's amazing.
Pretty good.
I think we're rolling right around the time that we need to do some cornering.
Do we need a corner?
We can lightning round real quick.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do, is lightning round.
Go, faster. Right, go.
Lightning round. First, I want to mention that we sent out our actual prizes for contests.
Oh, you are going way too fucking
slow. To Richard, Anthony, and Alex.
Hey, I did this piece, so I get to announce it.
So announce it.
So for Richard, Anthony, and Alex.
This is the slowest lightning ever.
I sent them out. You will get 5 dice, 4 orange, 1 gray, and an apology letter with it. But I'm really bad at writing apology letters.
You get to frame that, take a picture of it.
Can you do a little lipstick and then smooch it?
Oh, I should have. No, I didn't. I signed it Cripple System so they wouldn't know who it was from.
But now we know it's from you.
Obviously, it's probably going to be the one with the best handwriting.
Yeah, it's going to be the girly handwriting. It's either you or Nate.
Every eye
has the worst
little
handwriting.
Little heart.
Yeah. But I'm really bad at apology notes, so it reads a little awkwardly. Each one, you should be aware. Chris, we are still working on that T-shirt.
But it's going to totally happen.
It's going to happen.
All right, lightning round. I will work in the middle of lightning round.
I will work with Jeremy on creating an awesome T-shirt.
Yes. Okay. And I would like to point out, by the way, that this lightning round is something I came up with all on my own. No other podcast has ever done anything like this.
And I have
where they respond to emails and tweets quickly.
Once you finish it, I have one tweet to add to the lightning round after you finish the email.
All right, so the first one is...
So you're saying no other podcast has had something they call a lightning round where they talk really slowly and never get anywhere.
Actually,
that's unique to you.
It's unique
well
to me.
Done.
Okay.
So you, there's like, never been any other podcast that has done like a lightning round before?
Never like this
so
before.
So your lightning never. Round this is more like Silver Lightning Inspector Clouseau's car.
Nathan's not getting the actual joke.
Nathan is not getting the actual joke.
Which of anyway.
Never mind. I'll explain to you later.
I'm getting the joke.
Right. Lightning.
One guy wants to email him challenges faster. For who's the boss. One person sent us yoga pants pictures.
What?
Well, yep. One person thinks we
wait,
need to do
what do they look like?
Not well, good.
They're not good.
Was it themselves or did they
no,
cheat?
No, it's not them. Mm. It's unfortunate.
Is it something we should Twitter?
Please feel free, but it's horrible. I will warn everyone that the Twitter feed that we sent out 2 days ago before you saw this podcast, you shouldn't have looked at.
Wait, I'm going to make lightning noises before everyone. So here's the next one. I said I would.
Okay. No, that's
you.
Okay.
That's thunder.
That is thunder. Lightning doesn't make a
zappy!
Noise.
Zappy!
Zippity zappity! All right.
I would enjoy thunderstorms if they did that.
Zappy! Right.
Gabriel says that we need to do an episode that's 100% on topic and super boring, so we'll work on that.
Did he say what product? What topic
Zappy!
Of what?
No, on topic. He doesn't care what the topic is. Right. 100% on topic.
Grumble!
Somebody downloaded Star Trek specifically so they could listen to our podcast.
Zappy!
Grumble!
They really liked how they grafted the definitive Kirk line onto Spock, because that made perfect sense.
Zappy!
Grumble!
Somebody said they'd give us money.
Zappy!
Right, let's split up for that one.
Wait. Wait, what?
Yeah. I'll send you my address.
Yeah, we'll send you your address. Jap. His name literally Jap. J-A-A-P. Jap.
I am biting my tongue so hard right now.
Sure, Nathan's going to insult a people group.
This guy's name is a racial slur.
It's got to be his initials.
Like, no, it's not because he has a last name on here. It's Jap, and it's not Jap brand.
And?
That would be amazing.
Is his last name Ann?
No, it's
his
Jap
last name
Brasser.
Is a different racial
Jap
slur?
Jap Brasser. And his email is JW Brasser. I think this is legitimately his name.
It isn't like Jap Potato Wagon or something?
No. I mean, he signs the email Jap.
It's not Jap.
Signed the email Jap.
Maybe he just knew that you
guys are making my lightning slow.
Zappy!
There we go.
Rumble!
Somebody watched our video, they loved it, and they want to know how hard it was to upload an hour and a half to YouTube. Andy, answer quickly.
It sucked ass.
Hey, Jeff said he knew that it's a little glitch with YouTube that made that border around the video, and he knew how to fix it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was actually part of the pictures I put in there. The pictures were actually a higher resolution than what I encoded the video at.
That's a long.
He thought it was rounding badly. Like your video was like 472 and it thought it was 480, so instead of like put a border or some bullshit. I don't know.
Whatever.
So here's a question that every
I have to do yours first.
All right. Everyone has to give one caster answer. If you could take one caster
I was going
to
get to that.
Run it over with your car and smash it out of existence, who would it be? Nathan.
Gaspar 2.
Harbinger.
E. Haley.
Magnus 1.
P. Haley.
Done. All right. The fucking Crix player says P. Haley. Go fuck yourself.
No. To be fair, though, like what I've said before, and that probably should be my answer. Haley 2,
Gatsby 2, Harbinger, they win games. Haley 1 ruins games.
Haley 2 ruins games. I said Haley 2 specifically
because she ruins
games. I would rather play against E. Haley 2 and lose than play against B. Haley and win.
That's because you play Cricks.
No, it's just the game. Like, it's just not fun. Like, it literally, like...
That's how I feel about E. Haley. Even when I win, it's not fun.
You're still technically playing, though.
Did you ever see the video from that online of the hyena that's chewing out the elephant's ass? That's what it's like to play Haley 2 and Haley 1.
By the way, I'm going to point out in defense of the noble hyena. Zap, zap. When there is a carcass, when an animal is killed by a predator and then that carcass is stolen by scavengers and one of the other, either the predator or the scavenger's a lion and the other's a hyena, 95% of the time the hyena killed the animal and the lion is stealing the carcass.
Yeah.
That's true.
It is... Yeah, lions are lazy assholes, and hyenas
just search hyena and elephant.
Yes.
And search elephant asshole lemon party. This is,
God, don't do that. This is the slowest lightning round ever. Next
Zappy!
Question. Starting with Andy, how do you prep the night/morning of a tournament? Quick answer. Faster.
Exactly the way I'm preparing now.
He has his hand on the table. Prepare. No one wants to know.
No, I don't prepare at all.
All right, Brian,
beef jerky.
Meat spinning.
Yes.
You make me go to the gas station and get Gatorade.
That's true. That was going to be mine. I get Gatorade.
They're three for four right now at the PDQs. Like, every time I go in to get one Gatorade, it's like $2.50. Three for four. Well, I guess I'm just stocking up on Gatorade. Yeah.
I mean, I give you a kiss for good luck.
You do. Actually, the tournaments that I've done the best at, I got a kiss for luck from Katie.
Where?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Meat spin.
I think this one would be a towel.
All right. Next lightning round topic. We're going to go Katie first this time. Oh, wow. Okay. I can't. I need a minute. I need
There's
a moment.
There's that song. Remember that song from the 90s where the girl's like, kiss me, and then she's like under the hidden garden? And I'm like, where exactly is your hidden garden?
Yeah. I think we know where hidden garden is.
Why is it hidden?
It's her vagina.
It is her vagina.
Okay.
It's under the bush.
Checking.
It is under the bush.
I do like the Love Me song, Love Fool by the Cardigans. That song from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack was hilarious to me because the Cardigans are actually pretty heavy metal in general.
Except
and that
song.
Was their one American hit. Like, they're Swedish harder rock. And so it's funny. Like, all these people are like, oh, they'll be like that. And then they're not.
So, real quick, another joke. We saw Wicked the other day, and there's a line in the song that she sings to the guy that she's about to do. And... it says, even if it's quick, I'll cherish every moment. And I was the only one who...
And Katie laughed out loud in the theater. because even if it's quick, I'll cherish the moment.
Nobody else giggled. I thought that was funny.
Oh, because it was premature ejaculation.
Yeah.
Which was.
Yeah,
gotcha.
That's
gotcha.
What it was. All right, starting with Katie this time. Funniest rage quits.
When he put your guy in a donut.
He won that
game.
It
was a Twinkie.
And you weren't there. We're lame.
It's still funny.
Nathan, funniest rage quit.
When I made all my dice watch when I burned another one.
Nice.
This Sunday, a 4-year-old kid lost a game of Yu-Gi-Oh! He actually stopped, went outside, and just screamed top of his lungs. And we were so impressed that if he was a War Machine player, he would have screamed inside the store.
Yeah, the kid walked out calmly, just like, excuse me a moment.
Walked inside and just screamed and bellowed. You could still hear him clearly inside because he screamed top of his lungs. But it was pretty great. So,
Andy, funniest rage quits.
My favorite is when Nathan took Ashlyn and threw her across the room.
God damn it. People keep stealing mine right before it gets back to me. Because that was the game I played against Nathan.
Two out of the five are Nathan.
That's because they're amazing.
Like, technically three out of five.
When I melt down, I melt down. It's going to happen. It's going to be great. The hyena's got his head inside of the elephant's poop.
Oh, jeez. All right. Moving on with the lightning round.
Jeremy, you didn't do one.
That's because it right before it gets to me.
What's your plan B?
I don't have a plan B about.
It's gonna get better
quits.
In a second.
Is it gonna really get dumped on or something?
No. Just what?
Is it gonna prolapse? What's happening here? Why are we watching
this?
What
the hell is this?
I'm not watching this anymore.
I don't
watch.
Yeah, I don't have one. It was literally gonna be you throwing Ashlyn like a foot next to my head. that was hilarious. Okay. We already ran over the car because Brian stole that one.
A lot of nudity comments. Well, the Twitter feed broke down to a lot about Nathan being naked and how to deal with it.
Hey, you know, it's beautiful. True. There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, okay. Here's a quick one. Lightning round. We're going to start with Nathan because I know he has an answer for it. How do you deal with IG? Iron Gauntlet.
I would just break the format by bringing Gatsby 2, Haley 2.
Done. Anyone else have a better answer?
I'd play Masters.
Anyone else?
Meh. Okay.
Show him that video before.
Here's
you
a here's another here's another Twitter master. Should Adam Sandler stop making movies? Yes or no?
No.
Yes. Good God.
Should Adam Sandler stop making movies?
Oh, stop making. Yes. Yes.
It's sad because you know what? Punch Drunk Love was really good.
Well, he used to be really good.
No. Right. No. Punch Drunk Love was good.
I keep stealing that.
It wasn't an Adam Sandler movie. The thing is, he needs to just stop giving money to his friends to make shitty ensemble films.
Yes,
like, why is there Grown Ups 2?
Yeah, I don't know. Because Grown Ups 1 made a lot of money.
Why the...
I'm not saying it should have. I'm just saying it made a lot of money.
Grown Ups 1 wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad of an Adam Sandler recent movie.
I saw it on HBO. I thought it was kind of funny.
He plays his own twin sister.
No,
I'm just saying in a recent Adam Sandler movie. We're not setting the bar high by saying it's good for a recent
movie. I had a coworker say he saw that in the theater, and I stopped him like, excuse me. You need to explain to me the scenario that got you in the theater. My wife and daughter want to go see him. Okay.
All right, no, not okay. You get divorced. Like, seriously.
To be fair, he's unhappily married. He's just married because he wants to wait till his kid graduates. So he's miserable. So it's okay.
If your wife is taking you to see Adam Sandler movies, just murder her?
He's thought about it. He's got plans. I can't say his name now because he's got a system figured out.
All right, so that's the end of the lightning round.
Did you just make a toilet flushing
and
noise?
Lightning round is in quotations.
Yes. Lightning.
Zappity!
There we go. Thank you.
Grumble.
Ooh, that was far away.
That was far away. Because it went by and it's already gone by. All right. Yeah. That was the end of the lightning round.
Katie, go!
Corner!
Chinga. Possible intro music here? Maybe.
Katie's
go. Done.
Here. Katie's corner's going on right now. Katie's talking about her topic.
I was going to commend you for rhyming, and then I realized that you just said now twice.
I don't know how to rhyme. It's Katie time. Let's go, Katie, go. Katie's talking about the stuff. Katie time. Oh. Katie.
Time to drink from the fire hose.
I'm done.
That's Katie Corner. Katie.
We broke Katie.
Now with 100% less Katie.
New Katie Corner light.
You're welcome.
Aww.
So Corners.
I was going to talk about people who play by imaginary rules and then get upset when somebody beats them because they weren't playing by their imaginary rules. But that's a pretty quick topic.
So make it a quick topic. Don't
play by imaginary rules.
Give us an example.
Like at Iron Gauntlet, don't be like, well, if you take the two best casters, that's broken. So you take two fluff casters that can't win. That was not well thought through. I have a good one from Disc Golf.
Good, because that one wasn't good.
No,
it wasn't.
We've talked about bad stories before, Katie.
I know. I'm bad at them.
At bad stories, so you should
she's
be
very
good at stories.
She's very good at bad.
Well, imaginary rules is someone who says my Kazi's fearless, and they're not. So that's an imaginary rule.
I don't think
that's
what she means, though.
Oh, is that what you mean?
I don't think that's what she means.
You mean like self-implemented restrictions?
Yeah, like at frisbee golf, like we allow somebody to take a practice shot as long as they call it, and then take a real shot, and by saying no, that's stupid. I that's not really playing, even though we allow it within our rules. Like they don't do as well, and then they get
all grumbly.
Yeah, we're just practicing to try to be better, and then we take less and less practice shots as you go. But by the end of the year, you got your thing. But yeah,
or like people that are like, well, I really like, and we have a guy in our local meta who legitimately feels this way. He used to play Cricks, and he was like, no, I was just too good, so I switched factions.
I'm not gonna play.
Are you
Bane.
Talking about me?
No.
Oh.
No.
Or some people won't play Bane. Bane Knight's too popular. I'm not going to play Bane Knight.
Yeah,
I'm not going to play Bane.
Or like I play Crix. Legitimately, I own all the Crix models. And I've heard this before. But, you know, Elitch, he's just not fair. So I don't play. I play War Machine, and I'm a competitive player, but I don't play Elitch, even though I play
Crix. Well, I mean, to be fair, that's me. I don't play Elitch.
I know.
You might
be the person I was coming up with, example.
That's a very good example. That is my rule. That is a rule. I'm hindering myself, my choices. But I'd rather have a dick in my ass and play Gatsby.
Which is fine.
Hey, Nate, that's a hint. I want to
Which
be
is
Gatsby,
fine, but I'm just
me.
Saying that is a self-imposed rule. Or like, I know people that say I won't play with either of the Haleys.
What kind of fruit is dick?
No, fruit would have been acceptable. I
think
going...
he's the right kind of fruit, Andy.
I was trying to figure out because, you know, he likes fruit up his ass.
He does like fruit up his ass.
That was more earlier this year. I've gone to that phase.
But that's all passe now.
But people are that way about.
When I first started playing War Machine, at the time, like Andy and Brian, and they were all playing over at Misty, and we had a separate group over at Pegasus. And one of the people who was a central figure there, who is not missed, one of the things he always said was that they had a gentleman's agreement where nobody was allowed to take Iris 1 because she was too good. He was like, no, we just don't play Iris 1 here because she's too good. And that was the same guy. He played Signar Gunlines, and our hill terrain has a sharp edge on it because that way models can like butt up against it. And it's obvious where the hill is. You don't slide off.
I mean, it's a very common hill terrain.
It's a common hill terrain to have like a sharp edge on it for
logistics.
You don't have to worry about all your models falling over. He's like, well, I guess they're all just obstacles, so you can't charge up them. You can only advance up them. So here he is with all his long gunners parked on top of these things that you're not allowed to charge onto with the Pathfinder, just murdering your army.
Right.
It's like, oh, look at that. Sure, it's a good thing those are rules you claim are the house rules.
Rules of the game, yeah.
Yeah.
But then to Brian's point as well, people who just make up things that their models have or don't have.
Well, that's more accidental incompetence.
It is, yeah. But it does happen. Or like a local meta that has some understanding.
For years, we played
role.
That Frenzies ignored lost aspects. For years, Madison played that way. And like that's some, funny. Well, we just found out one time that like somebody, no, that's not right. We're like, what? We go to look up and that wasn't in the book at all.
The most common thing I come across, people are amazed that you can cast magic out of melee. You got different target people. Like, somebody's shocked.
I did that with my battle mages. I had to call a judge over once.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's like 1,000% legit.
Yeah. One time I was playing against this idiot and I was assaulting things I wasn't in melee with I wasn't in melee so I could spray across all of its stuff. And he was like, that's not fair.
It's on video. I wasn't that bitchy about it.
Yeah, we dubbed out the part where you were that bitchy. You were crying. weeping. Post-commentary, you're all composed. But live, you were weeping like a baby.
Like a girl.
Girls don't weep that bad.
My favorite moment is when somebody pointed out I was playing against a Kator force. And he was like, do those Chaozzi have acrobatics? And the guy says, no. And so he moves all of his troops this way, and then the opponent goes, oh, I pop Killstroke. It gives me acrobatics.
No, it gives them the ability to move through models and ignore free strikes. The word acrobatics never appears on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like bullshit.
They don't have acrobatics.
That's like saying halberdiers don't have gang. They have team effort.
Luckily, that guy was really bad at the game, so he still lost. But, the opponent was mad the rest of the day.
I'll bet.
And now it's later
the same game, they're playing, and the Chaozzi player just like, oh, okay, I'm going to ambush in with my Kassites. And he walks over like to the other table to get his Kassites off the tray to bring them over. Like, they were nowhere near the table. So, it was single list, so it wasn't even like you looked at your opponent's list.
Yeah.
So he had no clue Kassites were going to be coming onto the table because they were nowhere near the game.
Oh, jeez. I did look at a list once and do that to myself with Bogtrogs. I was playing against the Gator player. And we get to, it wasn't even, turn two, because he saved it. So it gets to be, turn three. And, my entire army, for whatever reason, is just mooning one side of the board. It's just like, this side of the board doesn't exist for me. And he's like, all right, I'm going to ambush in. I think he had, can you take two units of Bogtrogs?
Yeah,
he had two full units of Bogtrogs come in.
With Kator?
With Gators.
Gators. Okay, I thought you said Kator.
And things were going really well for me. And then two units of Bogtrogs attacked my whole army from behind. And things were going really badly for me.
I had the reverse on Wednesday against Mo, where it even said he brings Anastasia for the +1 to go first because he always forgets to ambush with her, which is why I stopped ambushing with her at all. So she just gets AD'd because I would always forget her. But two or three turns in a row, I would kill one of his models and he'd go to put the model in his dead pile and hesitate briefly when the peripheral vision from rotating would pick up Anastasia still standing on the side of the table. And he never said anything, but I saw the hesitation. I'm like, oh, he just remembered that he forgot to ambush with her. And then the next turn it would happen again. Sorry, Mo.
I used to do that when reinforcements were a thing back in 2012. I would be doing reinforcement scenario, and me and my opponent both would just be turn after turn, forget our reinforcements. Yeah,
Andy remembers defeat very well. Andy never forgets defeat.
No. Great segue.
Okay.
Great segue talking about our. We have a new sponsor of our podcast. I don't think anybody knows about besides
you know about it.
He posted it. We're gonna have a sponsor.
Yeah, we're gonna have a sponsor. Advanced Deployment. They're the ones who do all the awesome terrain pieces or the tokens and stuff.
Which I'm super excited about the fact because if they help us out and they get the crippled system tokens, because I'm super excited because that legitimately needs to be a thing.
Yeah,
I will use those things.
We're gonna have branded ones. We have a whole bunch of tokens to give away as part of our Swedish Jeremy, Swedish Muslim Jeremy prizes.
Future stuff.
Yeah, once he gets back from vacation, though.
Yeah. Well, he had to go home to the motherland.
Yeah, I think he's still in school.
Yeah, he's in culinary school.
Culinary school? Yeah. So, yeah, as soon as we get that, I brought a bunch of stuff to just kind of show everyone what they could do.
I asked if we had stuff earlier, and you were like, no.
He was a big fibber.
No,
liar.
I was talking about all the lock and load stuff that I got.
Well, right.
No, yeah.
No, I was specifically asking about this
all
stuff.
In a box that I shipped.
Which, I like the cloud ones. The cloud ones are. I've seen people with the cloud ones before. They're cool.
Yeah, they make a ton of awesome stuff. I mean, besides those, they have like special flag scenario pieces, a lot of scenario pieces. They're just awesome.
Very exciting.
Little base huggers, so you can write down like what spell you have on them, so you can attach it right onto the base itself. They have a little charge lane.
I've seen their charge lane things. Is that legal?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, I always wondered about the charge lane things, if they're legal or not.
Well, you would have to announce your endpoint, and then this is just a way to not have to eyeball. I mean, a laser would do the same job,
yeah.
but the point is you should put down like a proxy base or something at the
first.
Endpoint.
But when I see people when I see people use those, they don't do that. They're just like, here's my charge thing, and I put it down. That's where I'm going, and
yeah,
that's not legal.
That is not legal.
Yeah, that's how I see people use them, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, Jordan... was doing
was look at Katie's face right now. She's so upset with Jeremy.
What Jordan was doing against me, and I'm like, I don't care, but you know, keep in mind somebody will call you on this. He'd have his model, and then there would be a model that could possibly block the charge lane. So he would put down a proxy base adjacent to that model and be like, this is the lane I'm charging along, and then he'd use his laser to put that lane, and then he'd put his final base at the end point. I'm like, that is not a thing that happens.
That's kinda cool.
So yeah, we'll be working with Advanced Deployment, Raven and them, for making up some new crippled system pieces so we can start to...
These are high quality. I can stand behind these and not feel like a whore.
Yeah.
I do like the smoke templates as well. I definitely could use some of them for a lot of
things. I see those get used with like Gorman and stuff a lot.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're very good.
The druids.
Very exciting
stuff.
They'd
be good with druids. I've never seen them used with druids.
Well, the reason why I was saying for feet, though, is she actually has like little feet that you can get. As an actual token, so you can put down next to your caster.
Oh, this is PG Raven?
Yeah.
She has good cosplay, too. Her Lilith cosplay was cool.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of cosplay at Lock and Loaded this year?
I only saw one that was dressed up as Severius, and I didn't really see much else.
Rasheth didn't make an appearance?
Well, he was there in spirit.
Yeah, there were a lot of Rasheths.
Rasheth was there cosplaying as a normal person.
Get it, because War Machine players are fat.
Just 80 to 90% of them.
Yeah, just most of us.
Yeah, sadly, I was packing everything up from all the purchases I made. Interestingly enough, it cost $48 to ship.
So, yeah, I would imagine.
So I got a big box coming.
Apparently.
With my Haley in it. I'm very excited.
Yeah, my Vanguard.
No, your Vanguard
did not make it.
No one loved
it. I wouldn't actually store it in inside that box.
Vanguard.
So.
Charles Foster III.
That was a very exciting Katie's Corner. Good job, Katie.
Yay, Katie's Corner.
Boom, Katie's Corner.
Are we wrecking it?
We are wrecking some shit.
Recommendations, go!
All right, I guess I'll go first because nobody's jumping out. I am going to recommend... We recommend old movies and books and stuff a lot, and we recommend current games, but I don't know that we've recommended older video games very often.
Because they're bad.
A couple, but not many.
You have some Shock 2.
Yeah, some Shock 2. Like, that's cool.
And Jeff
crazy
did.
Old. Jeff did. I'm going to recommend... it's Pong. A PlayStation 2 game called The Adventures of Cookie and Cream. Now, this game's freaking amazing. I looked, and it doesn't look like it's available on the PlayStation Store, so you'd have to track down a used copy somewhere, but I'm sure you can get it for like $5 off of Amazon. This thing's a hidden treasure and a half. It's a top-down platformer about two bunnies that are going to rescue the moon because the moon's been kidnapped. Don't worry about plot. It's Japanese, so it's weird. But the point is, it's a top-down platformer, and the screen is divided vertically. So the left half of the screen is Cookie, and the right half of the screen is Cream. And the reviewers oftentimes talk about this being a two-player game, and they're liars, because the way it actually works is... like Cookie will like need to like pull a lever to open door for Cream. We'll need to like turn a crank to lower a bridge for Cookie. And so it's this co-op game with two characters, but it has a single player mode. So the left half of your brain and your left hand, or the right half of your brain and your left hand are controlling Cookie, and your right hand is controlling Cream simultaneously.
Oh, geez.
And your brain just gets torn in half, and it's amazing how difficult it is to control two simple. Like all they do is move and jump and interact. But there's only three buttons. Like and your brain just can't handle it. It's amazing. Yeah, so we're watching the thing now, but like that's your left hand has to control one person, your right hand has to control the other. And you might think, oh, I'll just control one and then let the other one take a little rest for a little while. But if you let one of them hold still for like 5 seconds or so, the game brutally sodomizes you as punishment. So you can't even cheat the system. It's astounding. So go on Amazon or go on eBay or download what do they call those things? The, you know, with the games and the mo- not the mods. Like when you have old games I'll remember it in 10 minutes. The point is, play The Adventures of Cookie and Cream. It's astounding. Right now, Cookie was riding on a hippo.
Good recommendation.
It is an amazing recommendation. I'm going to go home and play this fucking game now.
I have a recommendation this week. Very exciting. I am going. It's expensive. I'm going to recommend. I just bought another board game. That's all I recommend lately.
Yeah.
Mage Knight and Mage Knight and the expansion for it.
Okay.
It's a very dense board game that is not something you say, "Hey, we got 20 minutes when you got an hour and you have a new player." It's basically 2 to 4 players, technically 2 to 5, but it's a game. I'm adding games to my collection that are better from like, and it's also solo plays. I'm trying to get games that are between 1 and 3 players strong.
ROM. It's a ROM.
Oh, okay.
When you download a video game, it's a ROM.
All right. Go on. It's a fantasy game. It's basically you're running around a map. You're conquering cities. You're basically leveling up your character. You're conquering dungeons. You're gathering armies. It's a very scenario-based game, so maybe one game you're playing co-op with friends. Maybe you're fighting competitively. Maybe you're fighting against the AI of the game. It's just a very sweet – it's like I said, I can't stress to you. Every scenario has an exception to a rule, and it's just – there's like pages after pages of just dense rope of rules. I spent an hour and a half just watching some people have made some really sweet gameplay videos on how to kind of play through it, so I like watched all of them before I even tried to play it.
Nice.
But I spent one day this weekend just spent 3 hours just doing a practice run throughs. But it's a really sweet board game. It's fantasy based. You play a super powerful hero and you just conquer the world or conquer the map and
nice.
Level up. And if you play competitively, that's like whoever has the most VPs at the end win, kind of your standard VP race kind of a game. But it's very thematic and pretty awesome.
It's designed by Vlada.
Who we've talked about before
because he does amazing games such as Space Alert and Through the Ages and whatnot. Yeah,
and Through the Ages is another game that I want to play strongly, which I've heard is sweet at 3 players. Like 3 players is like that's what you want to play Through the Ages at.
Maybe you, me, and Mo will play that because Mo loves that game and he's always hoping people will play it.
Yeah,
with him.
You and me. I like
the game a lot, and I think it's one of those games that I'm hesitant to play sometimes because. You need to play with the right people, and I'm always worried to risk playing with a new person. But you'd like it, and Mo and I both already like it, so we should play that sometime.
No, I definitely want to play it. We definitely, and Mo wants to really learn how to play War of the Ring as well, which I need to show him. We need to play War of the Ring. Get your place moved in so we can just start playing board games every other night.
Right,
it is a good game.
So that's me. I'm done.
I want to recommend a board game as well. It's called Lords of Waterdeep.
God damn it! Every time I wait, someone steals my idea.
That's why I jumped in.
Oh, well, I had to recommend because I bought it. We've played it eight times since we haven't recorded it.
We do. The four of us need to play Kalos sometime just so you guys can experience it because it's very similar.
I've heard it's very similar.
But I love that game. It's fantastic. The only thing I will say is that if you play with Brian and you beat him a couple of times, all of a sudden he's just like, mandatory quest, mandatory quest, mandatory quest. He just isn't a very nice person.
It's a worker placement game at its core.
Yeah, you have to describe the game at least a little bit, Katie.
Her recommendation is to not play with Brian.
Just because it cost her to lose a game out of spite. It was spite. It was 100% spite where I made her lose.
But no, it's a worker placement game. The thing that makes it fun is there's a lot of player interaction because you can give people mandatory quests or you can screw them up or you can help them. But you're also along the way fulfilling your own little quests and things that you need to get done. So it's very interesting.
Also a 3 to 5. It's good. Another great 3-player game or 5-player game.
I think it claims you can play it 2-player. I don't think it would be good 2-player, but it is very good 3 to 5.
And it takes an hour to play. If everyone's played it, I bet you can play
less
this game
than that,
in 45 minutes. You can just dream. We play
almost any good worker placement game works 3 to 5. That's kind of the sweet spot for those kind of games.
And I bought the game 2 weeks ago. I've played it, I think, 7 or 8 times now. And other people have played it while I've been playing other games. So that game is constantly being brought out.
And there's an expansion
for it
coming out fairly soonish, right?
Correct.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Hey, Jeremy, what's your recommendation?
I have to think about it.
There is no, by the way, Nathan, I thought you said there is no...
Yeah, I need
there
to check
is,
in that.
There is no three-fifths rule, because earlier, before we got the game, we thought the game was racist, which is why I originally bought it. I was trying to get a racist game.
Well, it's still mildly racist.
The blacks are thieves and the white people are clerics. And
but
I swear...
That's a classic racism.
I need
games.
To look into it, maybe, because I know that the person I heard this from is someone who, like, he's a hardcore board gamer, and I don't think he would have made it up, so I need to talk to him and figure out what
he
was referencing.
Game, like he was mistaken.
No, it was Lords of Waterdeep.
But yeah, there is... I went through it all. I couldn't find any racism, and
But the thing with the whites are clerics and the blacks are thieves thing is I always thought that was like the reflecting of the clothes that they would wear, because like if you're like a ninja or a thief, you're wearing black, and if you're
a thief, you're black. That's what you're saying?
No, you're wearing black.
Is it causative the other way? If you're black, you're automatically a thief? Katie, I'm offended by you.
Fine. It's fine.
And if you're orange, you're a warrior.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're purple, you're a magician.
Yep.
That actually
is probably true. So therefore, Keith is a magician.
Just a shirt.
Anytime, cool. Jeremy.
I told you, go to Andy. I have to think for a minute. Katie stole mine.
Andy's on his phone. He's not. Maybe he's on his phone.
Andy.
Oh, my God. Fucking Andy. Train wreck here. Jeremy, save us. Recommend something.
Grumble.
Zappity.
Zippity zappity.
Oh, that lightning's right close.
Wow, okay. So you got nothing, Jeremy?
Nothing. Just look behind
you. You're all stall us. I just got a bunch of texts from Danny Goodner complaining about... he's very mad that the Old Grand Assault Corps do not work for 4-star. He made a complete list that was really cool. That's now illegal. He's like, this is the greatest in the world.
Because of rules.
Yeah, because of rules.
Foiled by the rules.
Speaking of illegal problems. So, hey, Danny, we're sorry.
I was very confused one time because I forgot about how contracts work. Because I was making a list and it wouldn't let me put Gallant into it. And I was so angry. I'm like, why the fuck won't you let me put Gallant in there? It's not like only Connie can take her or any of the Mercaster can take her. And I was so angry because I was trying to put Gallant into my Damiano list. And then I remembered like 2 weeks later that I had Alexia in that list.
And it's Animosity.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I got one. I got
you should have used Warroom because it would have been legal.
Yes, it would have been.
Bazinga. So my recommendation is actually War Machine related, so there. I think that possibly the greatest thing I've ever personally done for War Machine was to watch a video of myself playing War Machine. If you have a video camera, even if you're not going to post it on the internet for the rest of us to watch, videotape yourself playing a game of War Machine. It's amazing how much you'll learn and pick up, and just like the things you'll see about your play and places you can improve. Like, I want to record every game I play from now on. Like, it's amazing. I can't even explain how amazing it was.
Dan says he's going to buy a camera. Dan loved the idea. Dan's like, I'm buying a camera to record all my games.
Yeah. Like, I'm tempted to just go out and buy one, and you guys can record for different people for the podcast for next time, but like, I just want to record every game I play from now on.
I brought this to Andy. We talked about recording maybe like playing board games. Maybe like, I think like King of Tokyo might be like a good potential.
That might be a good one
to start with. I'd be
hard. I think I'd be completely up for that. I just need to figure out editing.
Yeah, I think King of Tokyo would be a good simple start, because I watched those. This like that one video I was watching. The guy was explaining. He made it. It was 10-15 minute videos, and one of them was like, "Yeah, it takes me what 3 hours for 15 minutes, of editing and prep work."
Yeah,
and all
that's
stuff.
The thing with the board games. They're going to require.
That was single player. So
well,
sure.
There wasn't much editing in our War Machine video because it was mostly just putting the commentary track over. Like these people with these exploding, when they have like little like pop up things, they do like.
But I feel like for a board game, sometimes
wiping.
That's important.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, it's just play. Hey, that's my fish, and videotape that.
So yeah, something that's quick. Very quick, very easy, where there's not a lot of waiting, where everyone
no
is
downtime,
playing.
Yeah.
That's going to work.
King of Tokyo seems like it'd be
King
fast.
King of Tokyo would work for that.
Yeah, that's my fish.
That would work, too.
I don't believe in that game.
Fuck you. That game's the best. I'm going to recommend it again. If you're listening and you don't own Hey, That's My Fish, fuck you. Fuck you.
What recommending
wow.
means.
Wow.
I recommend that you fuck yourself.
Could be wrong.
Yeah.
In the bathroom?
Anywhere.
All right.
In public. It's shaming.
Anyway.
Wear a little sign that says, I don't own Hey, That's My Fish. You can get it for $1 on your goddamn smartphone. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I did introduce a bunch of guys. I did introduce Doug Seacat to EnviroBear 2010.
Nice.
Somebody on my Facebook posted on my Facebook feed, they're like, hey, I finally got a smartphone. What app should I download it? I was the first response. I'm like, EnviroBear! EnviroBear!
Because they...
they didn't get to see it, but I was doing the commentary.
Yeah.
With it, it was like, oh, crap, I just ran into a tree. Oh, there's pine cones everywhere.
Badgers! Badger!
Yes. The badger just hit reverse of my car. Oh, my God. Now it's on the gas pedal. You know, just even just say in the commentary of what's happening on the screen, it's just awesome.
It is the best one-limb bear driving a car simulator available for your smartphone.
Yeah.
Oh, breaking news. Someone suggested that we should talk about Fat Asian. His house burnt down recently. No one is
Drake,
aware of it.
Again? How many times is his house going to burn down?
We keep lighting matches.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's my breaking news.
Drink.
Oh, good job.
I don't see that on our Twitter feed.
It's a drinking game. It's on Facebook.
Ben
Gazi will check.
Ben Gazi will check it for me.
Tell you all about it.
Is there an app for that?
There should just be an app for all. It does is you open it up and it tells you how recently Fat Asian's house burned down. It's just a running clock.
No accidents
in the last 10 days.
Last time Fat Asian's house burned down.
There's a sign outside the house.
Last burnt down.
Oh, man.
And every morning, Fat Asian just comes out and just puts
man,
it. I imagine, in my mind, I can see the image of, like, charred rubble behind it and him just shuffling up to it and replacing it with a zero and then shuffling off.
Well, we know what we're getting him for Christmas.
a sign or burning his house down again?
Maybe both.
Well, we have to get him the sign for like first. Something in the middle of the year, like Arbor Day, yeah. And then we burn his house down at Christmas so he gets used to the sign.
Well, we get the sign for him at Christmas, and then that way on the 4th of July, he can make use of it.
That would be a great sign. That would be pretty awesome. Kickstarter. That's a good sign.
Speaking of signs, I think we should start a Kickstarter to get one of those like long telescoping displays that you have for like the giant posters you see for that privateer.
Yeah.
And have one for John.
John
in the dress.
Yeah,
the dress,
yeah. Just so we can bring it everywhere.
So we can bring it everywhere.
Just wider.
To every single event possible.
Yeah.
And also we need a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
So you can have your picture taken with a celebrity.
Yeah.
Get this done before you get fired.
I just want to say, this is totally off topic. It should have been back in the lock and load section. But the new Red stuff they spoiled has me so excited to start playing my Red again.
That's your recommendation.
Oh, my God. The new Red stuff looks amazing.
I will say.
A phoenix that repairs itself, apparently.
A phoenix with two swords that you have to kill more than once.
At 8 o'clock, if you
it's
heard.
A character, at 8 so o'clock. At 7.
8 o'clock Saturday morning, if you heard a loud bang, it was me. It was my penis when I saw the picture of Bane Calf.
Oh, that was how I felt the night before when I watched the video about the
it was a sonic.
Did you hear Ed Burrell's response to everyone complaining about no Crick spoilers?
Well, the problem is that there's been multiple spoilers. Like, one person said it's going to be epic gore shit and mounted.
Well, no, that's exactly what that Ed said. He's like, Gore Shade 3. Lord of Ruin, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Nice.
But someone else also said for Private Press that it was going to be something different in a living war cast, which is not. So there's been like Private Press staff over the weekend.
Maybe there'll
different
be two
thing.
Casters in the next book. Like an
I love Gorshade 2. I would love.
Floating Zen caster.
Yeah, like maybe it'll be two casters and a baller jack like Apotheosis was.
Oh my God. That would.
That was Apotheosis. Wasn't it Excalation?
Apotheosis
well, they're
had,
saying
had only
they,
one
they,
caster, one
they
jack.
They did specifically
one
and say
no,
this
Apotheosis
is our,
was two casters, two jacks.
They did
one
specifically
jack,
say this
one
is
jack,
our Apotheosis jack. And no, so it's probably a character that's not tied
Apotheosis
to anyone,
too. Apotheosis was the big character.
Yeah, it was like what
Death
Jack.
Death Jack. It was
character jacks
Harbinger,
aren't tied to people. Avatar.
Edenny.
What was he
It was.
But wasn't it like Harbinger, Avatar, and the epic version of something?
Yes, there was two. There was at least two.
Yeah, it was epic something. Yeah,
it was just casters.
But
they only
referred to the Apotheosis in reference to the Red Jack.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
It was a weird book.
But my point is, like, oh my God, I'm so excited about my Red stuff. Like, the infiltrators are amazing. I can't wait to see what this new Eris 3 UA does for them. The Jack looks baller.
I can't hear you over the sound
amazing.
Of punctured drag. Puncture drag.
No, because you know what's going to shoot the ever-loving fuck out of Convergence? Everything in my army.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The Iron Mother theme force, where it's just her and like 20 of the mind bots, is hilarious.
That is kind
just
of swarms. I swear, I don't want to get Convergence, but like many people, when I saw those Angel models, I'm like, maybe I just have to get a
that
theme
force. That was what I said. They're
them.
The first model that I was really excited about. Those are a cool-looking model.
I got Max. I got the Max of them.
Of the Angels? Nice.
Yep.
Well, the Max is a theme force, like, a lot.
Yeah, the theme force is like FAU.
I know, but I got the Max.
It's FA2 or 3 base.
FA3.
3, so 9 angels.
Yep.
I bet it was so Steam Force cool will have probably like 90 units.
You changed your mind then, I guess, because when you were going, you said you weren't going to get any convergence, and then you saw it in person and you caved in.
Yeah, I just like, whatever. I'll just take one of everything.
It's amazing looking.
Also, Luck and Loaded, I want to try out. I have the original level 7, and like I said, I want to try out the new level 7 because it looks like they made a better version of
Home
level 7.
Protocol? Yeah, I also picked up the expansion as well for level 7.
Which is what? Yeah,
it's in a lockdown. I think it is.
Yeah,
it's a different expansion. It's not Omega Set.
I'm looking forward to that though.
It's a different level 7.
Katie's bored,
so I guess we should wrap it up then.
I mean, we started talking about War Machine for some reason.
We
no.
I just started talking about cool Rhett stuff. Yay, sploosh.
My quick recommendation is I've kind of touched upon it before. My quick recommendation is Specialist Games. Just about all the Specialist Games that Games Workshop makes. I know this is probably blasphemy coming from privateer press.
When you said Specialist Games, I thought you meant like play a game of War Machine with the Specialist rule.
That's what I thought you meant.
Or playing with a special person.
Yes.
It's like playing with Jeremy all the time.
You'll bring a War Machine list with 15 points of Specialist and he'll have a Mordheim army.
but these orcs just come on and start blasting away.
But like, I don't know, like Mordheim is a great game. Necromunda, mm-hmm.
Blood Bowl, of course, you've talked
Blood
about.
Bowl. Yeah, I've always recommended that. It's so sad.
Gorkamorka.
Yeah, well, that's not a Specialist game. No, but it's really sad that those games, if they were in any other company, they would be the flagship title, and in there, they're just treated like redheaded stepchildren.
Well, because you don't have to spend $400 a month to keep up on your model count. You can just buy an army and enjoy it.
Yeah. Fantasy Flight takes some of them for them, at least, so Fantasy Flight takes some of them into life.
Yeah, I know that Warhammer Quest is now an app for iOS. So
everything's a fucking app for iOS.
XCOM.
Coming soon.
Oh, God. Direct port to the iPad.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
New iPad. I'm an Android person. I love my Android phone, but I'm going to probably get the next iPad just for some of these things coming out for it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
And I'm depressed about it, but quite frankly, I'm going to do shit with my tablet.
Yeah.
I love my
Ben
iPad.
Bought three
you want
tablets.
To
and eventually,
with your tablet?
I want to do things with it.
Oh, God.
Ben finally bought an iPad. Ben had two Android tablets. He's like, you know what? But I want to do things with my tablet, so we got rid of him.
He got
an iPad, so he could actually do something.
Know. Yeah, it's so sad.
All right.
Oh, well.
I don't want to have to listen to this later and be this long for timestamps, so
timestamp.
We should wrap it up.
Bye, Sam.
Well, this hasn't been like an hour and 10 minutes, apparently, because according to Nate time.
It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're at an hour and a half now.
Yeah.
So we think we'll be
perfect.
So you might hear us tomorrow, which I think is Wednesday.
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Maybe we'll be online. Who knows?
Yep. Then we're going to hopefully, maybe, possibly record a game this week, and then we'll be at Dice Dojo. Come see us on Saturday.
And if we don't record, we'll have one. I mean, if we don't do one tomorrow,
we'll
have one.
That's not going to be like a necessarily weekly. It's definitely not going to be weekly. And maybe bi-weekly. Like, we're not going to necessarily have a set schedule for those.
But hopefully we'll be doing another one
soon. Hopefully a couple months, I think, to keep the energy level going locally, too.
I think the hardest part is going to be getting whoever we record with, getting them on the side to record the commentary for it. And we have to do it when it's at least fresh in the mind.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, we have to have, like, a contract. Like, we're recording on Wednesday, and they have to come over, like, by Saturday at
like
the latest.
Thursday
or something. Or else they're just out of the shrine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shrine.
Out of the dojo.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Go play Adventures of Cookie and Cream.
And watch Adventure Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Adventure Brothers.
And come to the Dice Dojo.
That is an amazing episode last night.
Yes,
that I watched last night.
Did anybody get murdered at a wedding?
No.
Well, fuck it. I'm
not
watching.
Impressive.
No.
So there.
Bye.
Bye.
Katie, it's over.